Hi, welcome to Second Wind Women. I'm here today with Dr. Susan Fox. She is a board-certified expert in reproductive health and fertility with over 23 years' experience helping her clients enjoy a healthy pregnancy, baby, postpartum, and family. She has an online program called Preconception Perfected at Health University with a Y. That revolutionizes the way women improve their reproductive health, whether they want natural conception, IVF, or egg freezing.
Yes.
It says her protocols are DIY, aka DIY, which is cute. And they can be done in the comfort of your own home. And she uses acupoint stimulation protocols that have shown a 42% increase in live birth rates for women over 35 undergoing frozen embryo transfer. Wow, that is a mouthful.
That is a mouthful. Amazing. You did great.
Yes. Percent. Welcome, Dr.
Thank
Susan.
You. Thank you. Thank you. And please call me Susan. Okay. I'm grateful to be here and really excited to have the conversation with you.
Fantastic. So did you start out your educational journey in women's health, or did you start out somewhere else?
Nope. Apropos to the podcast, I started out in the corporate world where I was actually getting my degree while I was working. I was very ambitious and went right from high school into the secretarial pool and then went to night school and was always in the corporate, mostly banking or legal side of things. Mm-hmm. And did that right up until I stopped work to have my children and then my child. I inherited one. Then when it was time to go back to work, I sort of had that classic V8 moment of, what am I doing with the rest of my life here? If I go back into that field, as much as I could enjoy it, it would mean leaving the kids before they're getting up to go to school and meeting up with them after they're about ready to go to bed. And I thought, you know, there's a better way. And the better way was something that I had already experienced for my own healings. I switched gears and at age 40, went into acupuncture school to get my master's. And then at age 60, went back to get my doctorate because when I was getting my master's, a doctorate wasn't even established yet. So,
wow. Wow. And you said something about your healing.
Yes.
And what did you mean by that?
Yes. So for myself at age 17 or 18, I was experiencing some really difficult health issues that no conventional medicine doc could seem to help me with. The gastro guy was sending me to the psychiatrist. The psychiatrist was sending me back to the gastro guy. They were each saying, there's nothing wrong with you. And yet I was having clear symptoms that there was something wrong with me. And that was, you know, a long time ago. It was in the 70s. And so Chinese medicine, acupuncture hadn't even come to the States yet because that was in the era of Nixon. And so I was kind of an avant-garde person in trying that out. But, you know, desperate times, desperate measures, I thought I would swallow eye of newt if that was what's going to make me feel better. And sure enough, no newt, but an acupuncture treatment really released a lot of the stuck energy. But more importantly, in that release, I was able to recognize how the grief I was experiencing at the time was impacting my digestive system, my gut. Mm-hmm. And we now know the whole autoimmune syndrome and, you know, the vagus nerve syndrome, we could describe it beautifully in conventional medicine terms now, but it just wasn't accessible. But the intuition was there through getting Chinese medicine treatment.
Right. Right. Yeah. And what was the grief about?
My dad had passed away.
Oh, okay.
And so, yeah. And it was, he died of lung cancer. And so it was a very ugly kind of way to die back in those right. days. I'm sure it's, you know, not a pretty way to die now, but it was,
right.
It was, you know, the surgeries were rather barbaric. And so it was hard. And I was young and out on my own. And, you know, he was kind of the stalwart figure who would always kind of be there. So
right,
now he's just
right.
there differently.
And that's why they would refer you to the psychiatrist, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. That makes more sense than this girl's crazy, her stomach hurts.
Right. Exactly. Although there might have been some of that too.
Yeah. I mean, especially in the 70s, right?
Yes, exactly.
So you worked in corporate basically in like an admin role? Is that what kind of what I did?
I did executive assistant and then I moved into marketing. So when I finished the corporate world, I was doing marketing for law firms, the big law firms that would have multiple offices around the world. And again, marketing was just coming out in the 80s as something that law firms needed to get into as well. Prior to that, they were just the institutions that would wait for clients to come to them. But then it was at that time that things became a little competitive. So I was able to jump in there and use some of my skills from school and start doing some marketing with them.
So you basically connected with Chinese medicine, aka also acupuncture, back when it was just brand new. And did you maintain kind of a relationship with that modality before you went to that school?
And yes, I did personally.
And what was that like?
So it was my personal medicine. If I needed a tune-up, if I was stressed, and then if I, you know, got sick or something, you know, something happened with my menstrual cycle or something like that, I would turn to Chinese medicine all along the way. And that and also homeopathy, but Chinese medicine, there was just a heart affinity. You know what I mean? When it's like, oh, this is my medicine.
Yeah.
So that would be my first go-to.
That's amazing. Yeah. My mother was a nurse. She's retired now. And she's always been like, we grew up in like a very medical family, but her dog's been having, she took her dog to get acupuncture and helped him so much.
Of course. That's wonderful. Yeah. That's wonderful. You know, what's so funny is that, you know, it's all sentient beings. They actually will use acupuncture to help restore fruit trees to get them to bloom again, because they have energy, right? And obviously a fruit tree or a horse or a dog is not going to be able to give you feedback as to, well, that, you know, that feels better. But with an animal, you do notice them getting very relaxed, going almost into a hypnotic state right away.
Wow. I did not know that. I'd love to see a chart of the meridians of fruit trees.
Right. I don't think that there's a chart of meridians of fruit trees. I think that that's almost more intuitive. The barefoot doctor. Right. Uh-huh.
Wow. Wow. Okay. And so was there a place for you to study acupuncture where you live, or did you have to go somewhere? And
yeah, no, I'm in the San Francisco Bay Area. And so I was able to go into the city. I chose a Japanese school of traditional Asian medicine, mostly for the convenience around my schedule. I had a young child at the time, but I was really grateful that I was guided to that, because it did align better with my aesthetic. The Japanese needling technique, they refer to it as a painless needling technique. I try not to use that word, because in case somebody says ouch, then I've lied to them, but it's very elegant and very, very, how should I say, it's an easy treatment to receive with profound effects.
So what's the main difference between the Japanese mode and the Chinese mode?
So I often will say it's like the difference between fishing with a spear or fishing with a line and a bobber. And so the spear is, the Chinese method is to really take that needle and twist it in, which can be uncomfortable. You know, we're not culturally designed to accept that kind of thing. Whereas the Japanese needling technique, they refer to it as seppi, S-E-P-P-I. And each needle's inside a guide tube. So you first feel the sensation of the guide tube touching, and then you just get this little tap and you don't even feel the needle insertion. And they're also very, very fine. The gauge of the Chinese needles tends to be a little thicker.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I went to see, there was a guy, I lived in Boulder, Colorado for years and years and years and years, like so many, I'm not going to say how many. But there was a guy there who ran an acupuncture school, and he did the, he was from Taiwan. Mm-hmm. So he did like a Taiwanese method, and brutal.
Yeah.
Brutal.
Uh-huh. And it's funny because, you know, culturally, the Chinese people want that strong sensation. They feel as though they've been kind of, you know, not gotten the treatment that they deserve if they don't feel something strong. Whereas most of us in the Western hemisphere do not want to have to suffer for our healing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I know. I actually went into shock the first time I had a treatment. And then I had a friend, but funny story, I had a friend who broke a bone in his foot, and he went to see the doctor, and the doctor went, did like 50 bones, 50 needles in his foot. He said the foot was bleeding and it was just a mess. But the next day he could walk on it.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, incredible. And so tell me a little bit about your journey as of of going to acupuncture school as somebody, I'm assuming you were, everybody there was not your age.
That's true. I was definitely the school marm. I would say most were in their late 20s to early 30s. And so the difference between a late 20 and early 30 to a 40-year-old, they kind of looked at me with some side eye, like, what are you doing starting so late?
Right.
Thankfully, I have a relatively immature personality. So I was able to get along with them quite well as we went through the school year.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. That's so funny. Wow. So what led you to start working, you know, focusing on fertility?
Yeah. So that's kind of a magical question. My answer is a little bit woo-woo, a little bit magical and woo-woo because
woo-woo. Yeah.
Most people who are in this field have their own personal story with having struggled with infertility, and that was not my case. However, when I graduated, I went to pick up a little commemoration, a little tchotchke saying, okay, I'll put this in my office. I'm no longer a student. I've been licensed, and here we go. And so I went into this place called the Tibetan Culture House, and it was as though I was moved to the space in the back of the, I didn't even really know where I was walking, but I couldn't stop walking until I reached this point at the back of the room and stood in front of a tanka of green Tara. And I did not know green Tara at the time. I did not really know Buddhism. And so I started to cry, and not, you know, not ugly cry, just moved. Mm-hmm. And I turned to the gentleman who owned the store, not realizing he was a monk, and said, what's happening here? And he said, well, this is green Tara, the goddess of compassionate healing. And clearly it is, you know, the energy of this tanka is speaking to you. And so I said, yes, I think my little tchotchke is now going to have to be, you know, a tanka the size of an entire wall. And truly she hung in my office for a good 15 years because she was the leader of the pack, so to speak.
Wow.
Yeah. She really helped direct that's exactly what we're doing in our work was compassionate healing.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I got a special fondness in my heart for green Tara as well. Yeah. My daughter is named Tara.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. It's a beautiful name, and it's a beautiful image to live through.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard actually there is some connection between white Tara and pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting.
Yeah.
So that's how you ended up?
That's how I ended up.
In women's health.
That's okay. That's the beginning of the story. That's
okay.
Magical step number one. So then I have her in my car and I thought I was just going to drive home, but once again, compelled to get off the freeway, maybe three or four exits before my home stop, and pulled over to this area of business, which was near the hospital. And I thought, okay, maybe I'm supposed to look for a place. And so I drove down the street and actually drove past the building, but did a U-turn and then drove back to the building and parked. And I said, I think this is where I'm going to start a practice. So I parked my car and walked into the front of this office building and walked the entire length of the building. And across the hall from an atrium was a darkened room. And I thought, that's my office. And then across the hall from that is a fertility center. A single person fertility center. So I walked into that center saying, who's the landlord here? I think that I'm your new neighbor. And the fertility doctor is, I'm sure still, we've lost touch, but a lovely, lovely person, and gave me the person's name and introduced himself to me. And so we kind of got to know each other, and we were just friendly neighbors. But very, very shortly thereafter, I mean, literally within weeks, I began getting his patients coming into my door saying, can you help me? Because research had just come out that acupuncture had been shown to increase success rates in IVF. This was in the late 90s, but the research was just being published in the early 2000s. And so I said, you know, I'm going to be frank with you that this is not my area of expertise, but I will, you know, with your permission, we'll learn as I go. And so I just kind of rolled up my sleeves and then went ahead and got certified as a board certified fertility specialist. And because it's a rather complex area of a field to work in, and it's, the stakes are so high that the onus is really on the practitioner to have the ethics to know what he or she is doing, because you know, it's an existential moment for as well as a financial hardship for many to go through this. And so, and so over the years, it's been 24 years now that I've been in practice, and I have been really so grateful that this is the work I get to do. And now I get to do it beyond my office, because I designed online programs that help women achieve the same success by DIY, as you read in the bio, acupoint stimulation, using protocols that are on video that they follow along. It's pretty wonderful to get a call from someone in New York City or Chicago or Washington, D.C. and saying, you know, it worked. I had success. And oftentimes these days, by the time they find me, they have not had success prior. So there really is a comparison.
Yeah. So just one more technical question before we get into that, the client side. So you're using entirely acupuncture pressure. You're not using any herbal anything?
Well, I do. I mean, it's so okay. Chinese medicine is, you know, a whole system. So acupuncture being just one of it. And so, and these days, because a lot of my work is with IVF, I'm not necessarily using Chinese herbs unless I have enough time before they begin their IVF process, because the docs, the reproductive endocrinologists don't know and rightly don't trust what variables that might insert in their protocols. So I tend to use supplements that they recognize once they are sort of beginning a protocol, because I want to put less stress on the patient client and not have that person be sort of between the rock and the hard place. And we've had enough, I'm going to say, political division in the IVF world and in the reproductive field in general. And this past year was kind of exacerbated that I feel a deeper responsibility to really demonstrate that we are what I call arms linked in our efforts to give this person the baby, the healthy baby that she wants. We're not at odds.
Right. So basically, I'm just trying to figure this out for your, for the listeners.
Yeah.
So you have the DIY classes and then you have recommended supplements. Are those individually recommended, or do you just have a pack, I recommend this?
No, they
from these.
It's a both and. So there is, there's a basic preconception package, right? A prenatal, a DHA. And then depending upon what's going on with this person, if she is of more advanced age, then there are supplements we want to give her to improve the mitochondrial function of her ovaries. And if she's got another diagnosis like PCOS, we want to give her supplements that are going to help improve her metabolic function, because that's actually the driver of her infertility, is a metabolic dysregulation. And if she's got, endometriosis or an inflammatory condition, then we want to give her supplements that are going to be anti-inflammatory, really help reduce inflammation. And if she has unexplained, or we know she has an autoimmune condition, then we give her herbs that really help support her immune system, so it's not being a hyperactive child wreaking havoc on her tissue.
Right. Yeah. Right. Wow.
Yeah.
So is that the main way that people work with you, just doing a consult, and then you have these instructional materials where they're, doing this acupressure once, twice, three times a day?
Yeah. And that is how a person outside the state of California would work with me, because I'm licensed only in the state of California. So outside the state of California, the online courses, I serve as a coach. I'm a certified health coach, health and wellness coach for that. And it's an entirely different, business, just to make sure I'm CYA. And then in California, I can do a hybrid of in-person if their zip code is nearby, or video consultation with the online course where I can actually really do a little bit more of prescription, if you will. But if they're out of state, then it really is limited to, what the course can offer them.
Yeah.
But if the course is offering an up to 42% increase in live birth rate, I say, hello, why wouldn't you? It's crazy. I mean, I really wish that this were such common knowledge, because it's so statistically significant that to not do it almost feels criminal. To withhold it almost feels criminal, because, each cycle is about $30,000 all in, and many women have to go through two or three retrieval cycles. So they're, we could save them not just the $90,000 or the $60,000, but also the time and the heartache and the toll on their body to go through another series of injection cycles. So,
yeah.
And the program works if you're trying to conceive naturally as well, because really all an IVF is doing is taking a natural cycle and upping the ante by stimming more follicles to, you know, to grow eggs. And then the doc retrieves the eggs and puts them into an embryo through IVF.
Right.
That being said, my argument is always, and that doc can only take those eggs out in the health that they are, the quality that they're in. And if you can take this time to improve blood flow, improve your diet, improve your sleep-wake cycles, we have guided imagery meditations, we have Qigong exercises within the program as well, and we've got nutrition advice for them. So all of these things are going to go very, very far to help them have better eggs that are being retrieved at the time of stims.
And to be a better, more strong and healthy mom once you have the child, right?
Exactly. So here's the thing. We have been seeing in the research that you know, they're finding toxins and microplastics in follicular fluid, in seminal fluid, in amniotic fluid, in placental tissue. If we can reduce that toxic load, we are really creating a much healthier environment for this baby that we want to bring into the world. And it really can be done. I mean, we can't get rid of all of it, but we can really reduce the burden significantly to really improve outcomes. And so when I speak that way, all of a sudden a mother wanting to be kind of sits up and pays attention a little more. Oh, it's not just about me. I really can be the driver for a healthy, you know, baby and a healthy family and a healthy future. And then I get political and say, yeah, and these people are going to be the leaders of the future. Don't you want them to be healthy and making healthier decisions?
Right. Don't mm-hmm. you want them to have non-plastic brains? Oh my gosh, that's so. Do you have any, like, I know there's like, don't say who the patients are, but do you have any like really good turnaround stories?
I do. And of course, I will not say who the patients are. Some of them are on my websites where they're giving their own testimonials. They offer to do that. But a couple of examples that come to mind is one woman had gone through a couple of IVF cycles unsuccessfully and came to me, and she was obviously very, very stressed about this. And she also was having a lot of anxiety, like mental health dysregulation, for which she was being treated and for which I do not do treatment. But in the lens of Chinese medicine, we have this good fortune of being able to say, oh, this pattern, not the diagnosis, but this pattern is showing what we would call heart heat, Shen disturbance. And I don't mean the ticker here. I mean the mind body. So using diet and lifestyle, checking things like her vitamin D and her thyroid, which had not been checked, and getting those back into balance, she was able to have a successful transfer. Fast forward 2 years later, her son is two. She wants to go back again. She went back in again, unsuccessful, came back to me, did the program, successful. So It's right there. And then another one was told, sorry, you've aged out. You need to go get a donor egg if you want to grow a family. And I said, well, just, you know, do all that and let's
How old
do
was she, by the way?
She was 42. So, I mean, in the realm of reproductive span, you know, she was on the far side of things, but, you know, there was no reason to not give her a chance. She wanted to, wanted to be a healthy mama. Whether they were her eggs or not. So she went through it and got pregnant naturally. So then a year and a half later, got pregnant naturally at age 44. She delivered at 45. Yeah. Yeah. So lots of stories like that. Lots of stories like that where, again, and where my heart rests easy is knowing that it's not just that they got pregnant, they're healthier. And now they're putting this into their family's systems so that their family and their children will be healthier.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so magical.
Yeah. I mean, I could go on, but I don't. Nobody wants to hear all the stories.
You know, those stories are very compelling. Yeah. I had both of my kids in my 30s, and I'll never forget that they called it an elderly pregnancy.
It's even gotten more insulting. They call it a geriatric pregnancy now.
That's what it was. Geriatric.
Geriatric pregnancy, which is so, you're right. It's insulting. And, you know, what do you do with language like that? We are languaging beings. To throw a label at a mom to be or a new mom, something like that. I mean, it's so demeaning and undermining of her capacity.
Yeah. Yeah.
And our mothers, I mean, granted, they started earlier, but in my family, we had seven children in my family. So, you know, the broods were longer over spans mm-hmm. of time. And she had her last at age 45. So she probably started a little bit later for her era in her late 20s or early 30s, but then, you know, to 45. So that we know it can happen, right? And the difference between then and now is the toxic environment that we all live in. So if we can reduce the toxic load, improve our health, improve our lifestyle, which improves our health, we can get better outcomes.
What kind of, so if there's somebody listening to this that kind of is in that situation where, you know, they're not fully IVF yet, but they're wanting to get pregnant and having trouble with it, are there little like tips that you could give that would help help them in that journey?
Yes. And I'm going to make it super simple. And sometimes super simple still doesn't feel quite doable, but bear with me. Organic, right? I mean, again, pesticides are showing up everywhere in our tissue. If we can just switch to organic, and now, you know, you can get organic delivered at the big box store frozen. It doesn't have to be that you go to the farmer's market and, and pay higher prices. They're pretty comparable. And you need to eat less to get the nutrition because we're eating not for just our taste buds, we're eating for our nutrition. So for vegetables and fruits, organic. For meats, if you're a meat eater, then the grass-fed, grass-finished, wild-caught, free-range, all the things, organic. I would also say that there is, well, I'm going to I'm tripping over my own tongue here. Our lifestyle. What time do you go to bed? What time do you wake up? Let's get consistent with that. Let's not be doom scrolling until 11:30 and then hoping that when our head hits the pillow, we're going to have a restful night's sleep. We might pass out, but we're probably not going to have a restorative sleep. So doing things like dimming the lights when dusk approaches, turning off electronics at least an hour before bedtime, and then getting yourself into like a darkened, cooler room so that you can have a good night's sleep. And that's for anybody in your family, frankly. This is not just about, you know, trying to conceive.
Yeah.
Things like movement, proper movement. You know, we are meant to be moving, not zooming all the time. And so, you know, making sure you're getting exercise, but not high intensity, you know, weightlifting and aerobics or spinning or all of that, just movement. And so do what you love. If you love yoga, do yoga. If you love to take a walk in nature, do that. If you love to have a dance party in your living room, do that. But just have some movement each day. Then I will say that there is a just released to the markets, November, is a probiotic that I think we all need. I gave it to my daughter in her stocking stuffer for Christmas because I think we all need to have it. It is a probiotic that has been shown to bind to microplastics so that we can reduce our microplastic toxic load. Isn't that amazing? I mean, it's called Winnow, and I'll send you the link and we can put it in the show notes.
Okay.
Because it's so brand new that I really want to help these scientists kind of get it out there because they're young fathers themselves, and we're saying, how can we just sit back here and let this happen when we know there's a way in which we can find a way as scientists to help support our children, ourselves and our children.
That's amazing. Yeah. You know, it's so easy to talk about how everything's, you know, hell in a handbasket. It's so easy to do that. But when you search a little bit, you find like there's a fungi that can clean up, you know, oil spills.
Exactly.
There's, you know, a different kind of, algae that we can use to do water treatment. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's amazing the things that are happening. And these things are not as doom and gloom. So we don't get the same kind of like, ooh, rush from them, you know?
Exactly.
There's so many amazing things happening.
Yes. Yeah. And things like our personal care products, right? Look at your toothpaste ingredients. If you can't pronounce it or if you don't recognize it, let's change it up. You know, there are many clean toothpaste ingredients, even your floss, the ones that are easy to glide. They're easy to glide because they're covered in petroleum, which is going to go right into your bloodstream as you are up there flossing your teeth. So these little simple changes, your shampoo, your makeup, all of these things, you can, you know, change it out. And I know there are people who say, and we don't want to overwhelm you, so do one thing at a time. And my response is, it depends upon how much time you have. If you have all the time, then yes, finish out the bad products and then replace them with the good products. If you're about ready to make that call to the IVF center, clear the decks, and because your body will recover equally to the support you give it by getting rid of the bad stuff and putting
that's
in the good.
That's like saying I want to quit smoking, but I still have a half a cart, you know, a half a whatever they call the big chunks with a lot of them in it. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you just?
Yeah. So, and again, you know, if someone is in their early 20s or mid 20s and says, you know what, I'll consider this for, you know, next year or the year after, to do some egg freezing because I'm hearing all of the doom and gloom, then I would say, then go ahead and finish out your right. terrible shampoo and terrible toothpaste, but please replace it with the good ones. If you wanted to be pregnant yesterday, then now is the time to get rid of the whole shebang.
Right. There's no use running a three-legged race.
Exactly.
Wow. Okay. Wow. That's so much great information. I've had so many friends who've struggled with miscarriages and getting pregnant, you know, as they got, you know, so many friends who were like, I tried so hard to not get pregnant all of my teen years and in my early 20s. And then when I was ready, I couldn't do it.
Right. And I mean, the stats now are troubling, like that 1 in 5 people of reproductive years is expected to be struggling with infertility. And I refer to this as subfertility because I don't think that they are truly infertile. Mm-hmm. I think we just need to change their patterns so that they are, become healthier, so that they become fertile. I think our fertility is a microcosm of our whole health. And so if we can fix our whole health, we're going to fix our fertile health.
Yeah. So do you do any kind of, is there like a national program or something to help practitioners like you, you know, have the, that's the kind of the licensing that you referred to, right?
The board certification. Yes, there is an organization and I can give you that for the links as well. It's called the Acupuncture and TCM Board of Reproductive Medicine. And so it's for acupuncturists. And we get trained in conventional and Chinese medicine interplay, interaction. So we can be the translator for the patient who's coming in saying, okay, this is the cycle calendar that my docs gave me, and this is the medication. And we have the time to say, this is what this is doing. And then this is what we want to do to support it. And this is what we want to do to mitigate side effects and all of that kind of stuff. So we go through a pretty rigorous testing, and then we have to go through continuing education units to show that we're continuing to be up to par. And I would encourage people who don't know if their acupuncturist is truly a specialist in fertility, because regrettably, a lot of people want to be and have the best of intentions, but they don't have the skill, the knowledge base. And so sometimes they're creating more problems for this person because they're kind of throwing spaghetti at the wall. Sometimes time being of the essence, it can be the time that this person doesn't have to have her practitioner try it out.
Yeah. Do you find that allopathic doctors are open to that kind of support, or do you feel like they're a little more, do they find it threatening or woo-woo I'm sure it depends, but I'm just like an overarch.
It depends. And so when I started, it was threatening and woo-woo because they didn't know what we were doing and they were afraid that we were going to be, you know, creating problems for them. Over the past 20 years, we have been integrated with them. We now are members of the American Society of Reproductive Medicine and the Pacific Coast Society of Reproductive Medicine. They have come to know and respect us, and we are working together. I'm referring to them more than they're referring to me, but they do refer to me as well. And in their defense, they're not referring to me because by the time someone's knocking on their door, there's usually an urgency to it. So they're not saying go take active. Some will, you know, when they'll do it is when there's a failed cycle. They'll say, okay, now go.
Of course. They're not going to say, prepare, go to this lady. Uh-huh. She'll get you up to a standard and then we can try it. No, they want you to try it immediately, of course.
Yeah.
Timing and
exactly.
That's their business.
They're just working through their own filter of, you know, timing is everything. And regrettably this past, so we were doing a great job. We were really doing integrative, you know, work. And then this past year, we had a few episodes of the federal administration bringing down some mandates of, you know, we will only cover restorative reproductive medicine, which I would probably fall under that. We're not going to cover IVF for our military and so forth. And it really stirred up a lot of controversy where the reproductive endocrinologists were like, oh my gosh, here we go again. Now these quacks are going to be taking this precious time with these people and there'll be problems down the road. Hopefully it won't take too long for us to, you know, kind of course correct on that because, you know, humans being humans, I think they were set on their heels and reacted a little bit afraid on behalf of their profession and their patients. But
it's always part of the problem, I think, is that we have so much information and there's such a tendency towards dichotomy in the human understanding, right? And so
our reflex is survival, right?
There ought to be a law, but just for the things that I want.
Exactly. Well, for better or for worse, we're getting that more with AI, aren't we? We're getting to see only the things that we want. So,
yeah, it's crazy. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. This was so amazing.
Really fun to talk with you. Thanks for all the great questions. I hope that your audience got something out of it. And, if the audience is like, well, fertility is not my thing. That was, in the Wayback Machine. Think about your nieces and nephews or children or grandchildren or, or colleagues at work. There is someone who could benefit from knowing this. So if you're listening or viewing, I'm going to ask on behalf of Karen that you just get them to take a look at the episode and
give us a 5-star rating.
And give a 5-star rating. Exactly. That too. While you're there, for goodness sake.
Might as well. And also go to Susan's website. What are your website? I saw there was a big list on the
list. Yes, there's a big list. So it will be because I have my private practice website and then I have my course website. And then there's a free, there's some free opportunities that.
What's a free opportunity?
There is a 5-element fertility assessment quiz that will, people will go through this quiz and it will show which of the 5 elements in Chinese medicine is kind of going sideways for this person. And then they'll get an email report saying, and here's how you can correct it. Here are some ideas about how you can correct with, food and movement and, more specific to that type of person. And then there is a free 28-day gentle detox masterclass. The tone of the masterclass is toward fertility because it's on the fertility website, but it's really for any of us. I do it 3 or 4 times a year myself to just try to clean up the mess.
Yeah, detox. Yeah. And definitely I want to know about that.
Yeah.
That winnow or whatever.
The winnow. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yep. It's in there it's under my shop page, but I'll send you the link so you don't have to go through my shop page and go find it.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Dr.
Susan. My pleasure. Really fun chatting with you.